I'm going to be presenting today on some research I've been doing with Dr. Snap and Dr. Mallory. And the idea behind it is we're trying to look for signals in a couple long-term data sets of what different types of cropping systems might contribute to both yield stability as well as resilience. And I'll get into more about what I mean by those particular terms. Right off the bat, I'd just like to acknowledge a few folks and institutions, Dr. Snap and Dr. Mallory, of course. The data I'll be presenting are from Michigan State, a couple experiments at the Kellogg Biological Station, as well as an experiment from the University of Maine. And in particular, I'd like to thank, but since they're all long-term experiments, several technicians and staff over time who have kept these all going, in particular, Suzanne Sipple, who is one of a former data manager at the KBS LTER, who passed away this year in a very unfortunate accident. So thanks to her memory. So I think since we're all in the session, we kind of know what climate change in particular spells some pretty prominent and potentially substantial threats to crop production, particularly in the American Midwest. So this is a map of projected temperature differences over the next several decades. And as you can see, it looks pretty dire in particular. Global average temperatures are projected to keep increasing, and that's going to have some pretty substantial impacts on crop production. This is a figure adapted from a crop modeling study on how different IPCC emission scenarios might impact crop yields. And by and large, you can see that they're basically going to decrease yields for a variety of different crops as well as increase variability. And so what to do about this? I think a lot of the response has been in looking at different ways to breed crops so that they're more drought tolerant. If you look at some of the irrigation installation data right after 2012 when we had that really bad drought, the number of new center pivots that was installed across the Midwest really rocketed up. So there's some ways that people are looking for technological solutions to this. But as a soil scientist and agroecologist, I'm interested in what about how can we manage soils and cropping systems in anticipation of global climate change and its impacts on production. And kind of core to this is the idea that we kind of all know and is well supported that organic matter is really essential to water holding capacity. So this is a figure from a pretty well-cited foundational study. And as you can see, as organic matter goes up as a percent of soil by weight, water holding capacity goes up along with that. And so the assumption is that if we can increase organic matter in our soils, we can hopefully kind of mitigate the impacts of climate change, especially the impacts of climate change through its impacts on soil moisture. But what's sort of interesting is that there's not a lot of studies that have taken this assumption and then looked for signals in yield data where we look across organic matter gradients and try to see, do we see this type of resilience emerging in long-term crop yield data? There's one very nice study from a group of researchers from China who looked at a gradient of soil organic matter content and yield variability for a variety of different sites. And as you can see, as organic matter content goes up, yield variability goes down. So that's one kind of nice, you know, empirical example. But aside from that study, there's not much else. Myself and a few co-authors just published a study a few months ago in PLOS where we tried to kind of look for this in some publicly available data sets. So we took the USDA National Ag Statistics Service yield data for 15 years across four different states, and then also extracted some data from the USDA NRCS's GSIRGO data set, which is a GIS data set that includes a variety of different soil characteristics. And what we ended up finding was that soil water holding capacity, at least as it's defined in the GSIRGO data set, is a good predictor of yield volatility. So the higher your soil water holding capacity, the lower your yield volatility. And it kind of makes sense if you think about the types of soils you might find in southern Minnesota and northern Illinois. They're kind of nice, high organic matter soils, things like that. And so we kind of made the argument based on that perhaps one of the ways that we can mitigate yield variability and mitigate against the potential impacts of climate change is to think about managing for soil organic matter in particular. But with that in mind, we came back to this question, if that's true, can we see that signal in some of the long-term data sets that we have access to? And fortunately for myself and collaborators, we had access to a few long-term data sets. Without getting into a ton of detail on the different designs of all these different experiments, I'll just name them and tell you a little bit about them. The first is the Living Field Laboratory. If you're familiar with the Kellogg Biological Station long-term main cropping system experiment, it's just adjacent to that, or it was just adjacent to that. It ran from 1993 until just last year, maybe 2 years ago. And it was a cropping system experiment designed to kind of test a couple different inputs and management treatments that were based on differing levels of fertilizer, things like that, different types of weed control, as well as testing the effects of cover crops and crop rotation. The KBS long-term ecological research main cropping system experiment is another cropping system experiment that is designed with several different treatments. All of them have a crop rotation component, but they have different types of management. So the T1, conventional management, is kind of what you would expect to see across the Midwest, conventional tillage, herbicide, and fertilizer rates. T2 is a no-till treatment, so no-till, no tillage. T3 is a reduced input treatment that also includes a winter cover crop. And then T4 is a fully organic treatment, certified organic. And then last, there's a cropping system experiment on potato production at the University of Maine. And the primary split here, the primary treatment, is that soils are either amended with organic matter or not amended with organic matter. So as we're kind of going through this, we realized we've been talking about stability, but there's also sort of another thing that we might be interested in. And stability, as we were thinking about it, was more a sort of reduction in interannual variability. So we want to be able to have cropping systems that produce predictable yields, something like that. But resilience, we thought, is kind of a different type of concept. You could have a stable system that produces, you know, consistently low yields all the time, something like that. That might be what you might expect from an organic system. But a resilient system, as we were beginning to think about it, was a cropping system that had the ability to withstand really poor growing conditions. And to us, that was particularly important since that's what we might predict will happen as climate change begins to kind of yield impacts on cropping systems. So another way of thinking about this is a stable system is one that will perform consistently under variable weather. And the statistic that we used to assess that was coefficient of variation on yields. We did a couple different ones. Coefficient of variation is a nice, clean one, easy to kind of understand. And then resilience was more performance under catastrophic situations. So the kind of benefit of having long-term yield data is that within that yield data, you have a couple years where you had droughts. You had years where you kind of had conditions that might be similar to what we expect under climate change. And so with that data, what we did was we, for all the different experiments, we built yield distributions based off of the yield data that we had. And then for those really bad years, what we did was we looked at the probability that the yields of different treatments would be in the bottom 10th percentile of that yield distribution. So as I go into the figures here, in general, what you're going to want to know is that the lower, the better, the higher, the worse. So stability. And again, the metric that we chose for stability was coefficient of variation. This is data from the LFL experiment, the Living Field Laboratory. And by and large, you can't really see very many treatment effects. There, especially amongst corn, which is, you know, kind of what we typically use as a in our assessments, we begin to see some effects in the wheat data, where the management that we choose can begin to sort of mitigate a little bit of variation. And in particular, this IC treatment, that stands for integrated compost, is a treatment where we added compost every year or manure every year. So for the wheat data, it begins to kind of reduce variation. Similarly, organic also does the same. So with the LTER, what we saw was not a ton of differences for corn. The organic treatment, T4, reduces variation a little bit. But for soybean in particular, we saw that T2, the no-till treatment, reduced variation over time. And in wheat, fewer differences, which is kind of interesting since these are at the same site as the LTE, or the the same area as the LFL study. But for the potato system, the potato cropping systems experiment, it's pretty clear. The amended soils amended with organic matter really reduced variation across time. So what about resilience, or at least as we defined it? Here we begin to see a lot more treatment differences start to emerge, which is pretty interesting. So each of the figures that you're going to see is, again, the lower the better. So it's basically the lower the probability that they'll be in the bottom 10th percentile of the yield distribution. And what I'm going to, I pulled out data from a few particular years. So 1996, a year crop production really dropped, in particular because of some drought. And as you can begin to see, for both continuous corn and corn within a rotation, management begins to matter a fair bit. So the conventional treatment that is kind of managed in the way that you would typically see across the Midwest, more susceptible to drought. It begins to, the probability it's in the bottom end of the distribution jumps up in a bad year. And as well, you begin to see some effects of cover crop begins to mitigate some of those that effect of drought a little bit more. Here again, you begin to, 2008, another bad year, see some kind of similar effects. And in particular, in the soybean. But what's interesting, too, is that the organic treatment doesn't seem to have the same kind of mitigating effect. So there might be something else kind of going on there. The LTER, we pulled out another 3 years, 1996, 2008, 2012. So they're in order in the panels. And with the LTER, rather than having every entry point to the rotation every year is just one crop across the whole experiment. So 1996 was a corn year, 2008 a corn year, 2012 a soybean year. And what's kind of interesting about this to me is that this is early on in the experiment. I believe the experiment had only been going for about 7 years then. This is fairly recent. And you can kind of see it begins to mature. So T2, the no-till treatment, starts to emerge as the one that has particularly kind of good at mitigating against bad weather. And that effect just sort of seems to increase as you go along. And then the potato cropping systems experiment. 1995 and 1999 are two bad years. And you see this really clear effect that amending soils with organic matter seems to mitigate against the effects of drought. So, conclusions. So, improving stability. It seems, you know, across these different experiments that management systems that with organic matter additions, so either applying compost or something or manure or something like that, improves your stability. It reduces the very interannual variability that you see within a yield data set. In addition, no-till, or in particular at the LTER experiment over time, seemed to emerge as a way of improving stability. But what was also kind of apparent to us is that the effects maybe seem to be crop-specific. So why that is, not really sure. I'd be interested to hear people's thoughts on that after the presentation. Improving resilience, though, so improving the ability of a cropping system to perform in a really poor year, a number of different things seem to emerge as being important to that. One, crop rotation was pretty apparent in the LFL data. Two, use of cover crops also seem to be emerging in the LFL data as important to resilience. Again, management systems with organic matter additions also seem to improve resilience, particularly true in the potato systems experiment. And then no-till in that LTER data really seems to emerge as being important to improving resilience. And so with all this in mind, I'm guessing a couple of people might be wondering, well, why didn't you maybe go ahead and, rather than just looking at treatments, actually look at soil organic matter content or soil carbon content, as like one of those experiments I presented earlier did. And the kind of short cop-out answer to that is that we don't have those data for all the years within the experiments. But for 1996, we do have soil organic matter data for both the LTER and the LFL. And what is, so this is the LFL 1996, and what is kind of interesting is there doesn't seem to be much kind of really happening there. So, and same for the LTER. And the reason I bring this up is not to sort of say, okay, so it's not that carbon matters, but in particular, I think it's sort of important since we pretty frequently make this kind of blanket statement or blanket recommendation that to get these this mitigation happening, just increase your soil organic matter. When really, it's probably more to do with sort of other soil characteristics that are generally associated with soil organic matter, maybe water-stable aggregates, water infiltration, things like that. And perhaps it's time to kind of be a little more nuanced than the types of recommendations that we make to growers. And so with that, I'm all finished. Happy to take any questions.
Questions for Dan? So I think a very interesting study. Resilience is something difficult to define, and I like the way they started defining resilience. Somebody has to start from some baseline. So I think this was a good one. So questions. There were a lot of cropping systems, and I couldn't track all of them. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. So you said the contribution of abiotic changes? Environmental
variety changes.
Variety changes. Yeah, that's a good point. And we kind of thought about trying to deal with that by doing kind of detrending data. So over time, as varieties change, we kind of see, you know, general kind of increases in yield. So could we find a way to sort of normalize data across time? I attempted to do that. It didn't really work. It tended to sort of change numbers for particular treatments a little bit too much. But that is something. There's a paper that came out in PLOS One recently where they did that on a longer term data set to account for variety changes and their impacts. I think in general we found that the variety changes perhaps weren't strong enough in each of the, didn't have a strong enough impact on yields to really justify doing it, but that is an important consideration. So the question is, if we can manage for stability, can we do plant breeding for resilience? I'm not a plant breeder at all, so I wouldn't pretend to really know. But I pulled out a few slides looking at, you know, groups like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have been trying to do some breeding for drought-tolerant corn varieties in the developing world. I know Monsanto has been introducing Drought Guard, which is one of their GMO traits to try to improve drought tolerance in maize. So I don't know in particular, maybe if there's other plant breeders in the room, but that is definitely, I think, going to be part of their response to climate change, for sure.
Yeah, the cover crop effects are pretty interesting. It looks like they can increase resilience, but at the same time, decrease stability, at least in one case.
Yeah. That's a really good question.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. So Phil was pointing out that in some of the data, it looked like potentially there's a trade-off between with increasing stability, you might also, with decreasing stability, you might get increased resilience. Is that correct? In particular, in relation to the cover crop effect. That's a great point, and I didn't really notice that. I don't know. Would you have any sort of gut instinct explanations? Or?
I haven't seen the pattern before. So.
Yeah. Well, we should talk about that. That would be good.
In the resilience metric you were doing, the yield distribution, kind of within each year and
across all the systems, right? Actually, so we tried it a couple different ways, but we ended up going with a yield distribution across the whole study period. So across all years of alt data.
Okay.
And with the thinking that it is more about trying to sort of assess what is the total yield potential of that site in that experiment. So there is sort of a bias within that, that the kind of naturally lower yielding treatments like organic tend to sort of look bad within that, but we also kind of wanted to do that because we're sort of interested in resilience in absolute terms, not relative terms. So you may have a lower drop within one treatment, but what's probably ultimately important to food production writ large is to be able to sort of have good production overall in absolute terms, not relative. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's true. We have some more sort of data that's soil organic matter data that we could probably get our hands on. But and thinking of replicating that other study, the mapped, the using G-Surgo and NAS and some other ways to sort of look at the same ideas.
Any other question for Dan? We still have some time. I think that was wonderful, and I think we should acknowledge it's a great study. With such large-scale studies, I think there are a lot of uncertainties, but the broader picture comes out very clear, and it's a great one.